Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast about intelligent design and evolution.
Greetings, I'm Casey Luskin, and this is the ID the Future podcast, being broadcast from Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture in Seattle, Washington. On this podcast, we're going to discuss the phenomenon of biomimetics. They say that life imitates art, but now it seems that human technology is increasingly seeking to imitate life. In fact, engineers are finding that biology itself, in some cases, provides a superior replacement for our best technology. This may increasingly be the case for nanotechnology, as a news article on MSNBC from early in 2008 reported that, quote, the flagellum could potentially provide locomotion to send future nanobots or other tiny medical devices zooming around the human body, unquote. According to the article, engineers have found that a useful mechanism for transporting adenosine triphosphate, or ATP, an energy molecule of biology, is found within the energy transport system that runs along the cilia of sperm. I should note that cilia are sometimes also called flagella, as is the case in this article. The article reports that there are plans to integrate other components from biology into nanobiomedical devices. So human technology seems to be now coming full circle. The first outboard motor was the bacterial flagellum, but then came along the eukaryotic cilium. Sometime much later, humans came around and humans invented their outboard rotary engine themselves. But this was before they had any knowledge of flagellar outboard rotary engines on bacteria. Now humans have discovered the bacterial flagellum, and they have found that it has strikingly similar designs to the human outboard motor, including, as it was discovered earlier this year, that it has a clutch. In fact, the realm of human technology is increasingly taking its solutions to technological needs from the biosphere, a realm which neo-Darwinian scientists tell us is the result of blind and undirected and even random processes. This phenomenon, as I mentioned earlier, is called biomimetics, and its prevalence has highly positive implications for intelligent design. In the case of the flagellum, biomedical researchers are abandoning human technology, realizing that biological pathways are better suited for propelling human nanotechnology than is human technology itself. It seems clear to me that the paradigm of intelligent design will guide this kind of research much better than will a Darwinian paradigm. An article from February of this year in Business Week discusses the common trend of biomimetics within industry, observing that engineers are increasingly turning to nature for guidance and inspiration in producing human technology. As the article states, quote, spot the common theme, a bullet train with a distinctly bird-like nose, massive wind turbines whose form was inspired by the shape of whale's fins, ultra-strong biodegradable glues developed by analyzing how muscles cling to rocks underwater. The creators of each product use nature as their guide, unquote. The article goes on to further explain that biology may also provide environmentally friendly solutions to the needs of industry by providing, quote, non-polluting, energy-efficient manufacturing technologies, unquote. One fascinating project discussed in the article was employed by Ford's Volvo division to develop, quote, an anti-collision system based on the way locusts swarm without crashing into one another, unquote. Additionally, the article explains that IBM is developing a system to mimic, quote, the way abalone shells form by melding microscopic particles of calcium carbonate chalk in a process called self-assembly. They're now applying the same principles to the development of a series of processors. While still experimental, results reduce energy consumption by some 35%, unquote. So biology is now helping us to improve our methods for protecting the environment, avoiding car crashes, and building better and more efficient computer chips. Unfortunately, like many such articles, it presumes that these biological features, quote, have evolved in the natural world over billions of years, unquote. Shouldn't it be surprising that the alleged products of blind Darwinian processes are outperforming human technology, which is the product of intelligent design? To be sure, intelligent design does not require optimal design, but one would not expect these complex systems that in many instances outperform human technology would be the result of a blind and random process. Might this indicate that nature is not the result of blind processes after all? Biologists and engineers who still believe that life's complexity results from neo-Darwinian processes may wish to continue to repeat Francis Crick's mantra. Biologists must constantly keep in mind that what they see was not designed but rather evolved. In fact, I think that some Darwinists have repeated that mantra to themselves one time too many. How many times have we heard the old Darwinist canard that the human eye is supposedly poorly designed? As the argument goes, the vertebrate eye is poorly designed because our photoreceptor cells in our eyes face away from the incoming light and the optic nerve stands out over them, allegedly blocking some of the light. William Dembski and Sean McDowell's new book, Understanding Intelligent Design, has an easily accessible and forceful rebuttal to this poorly designed Darwinist objection to ID. They state, quote, "The photoreceptors in the human eye are oriented away from the incoming light and placed behind nerves through which light must pass before reaching the photoreceptors. Why? A visual system needs three things: speed, sensitivity, and resolution. The inverse wiring does not affect speed, nor does it affect resolution, except for a tiny blind spot in each eye. You usually don't notice it because your brain's visual harmonization easily compensates for the blind spot. You need to do special exercises to discover it. What about sensitivity? Sensitivity requires an inverted retina. Retinal cells require most oxygen of any cells in the human body, so they need lots of blood. But blood cells absorb light. In fact, if blood cells invade the retinal cells, irreversible blindness may result. By facing away from the light, retinal cells can be nourished by blood vessels that do not block the light. They can still be so sensitive that they respond to a single photon, the smallest unit of light," unquote. Dembski and McDowell also make the important observation that, quote, "no one has demonstrated how the eye's function might be improved without diminishing its visual speed, sensitivity, and resolution," unquote. As it turns out, when engineers try to design better cameras and imaging devices and bionic eyes, they use the human eye as a blueprint. According to an MSNBC article from earlier this year, the supposedly poorly designed human eye is inspiring engineers, as the article states, quote, "Barring one of nature's best designs, U.S. scientists have built an eye-shaped camera using standard sensor materials and say it could improve the performance of digital cameras and enhance imaging of the human body," unquote. The article reports that digital cameras have the, quote, "size, shape, and layout of the human eye because," quote, "the curved shape greatly improves the field of vision, bringing the whole picture into focus," unquote. So what about improving upon the human eye? The article reported that, quote, "the device might even lead to the development of prosthetic devices, including a bionic eye," unquote. As one scientist stated, quote, "if you want to develop an eye to replace a human eye, certainly you want to look at the shape of a human eye," unquote. While inefficiently designed objects can still be designed, it still seems very much like the human eye is not an inefficient or poor design. But I am by no means the only ID proponent who is intrigued and encouraged by the widespread prevalence of biomimetics. The Biologic Institute recently posted an article on its website, biologicinstitute.org, discussing how biologists are copying the brilliant designs they see in nature for technological purposes. The presumption of evolutionary biologists, of course, is that these brilliant designs evolved by natural selection preserving random but beneficial mutations. Engineers operating under such presumptions have thus tried to mimic not only the brilliant designs, but also the evolutionary processes that allegedly produce the designs. Biologic's article notes that one such success story of these methods was the case of NASA engineers who used evolutionary computing to produce a better antenna for receiving electromagnetic signals. But did these NASA engineers use truly Darwinian evolutionary computing? The article goes on to discuss how design parameters were smuggled into the simulation that produced the antenna, such that it wasn't truly an unguided Darwinian evolutionary scenario. So what exactly can unguided Darwinian evolution computing actually produce? Probably not very much, according to the Biologic article. But this is a research question that Biologic is attempting to tackle. As their research page says, they're exploring, quote, "fundamental laws governing the origin of information by," quote, "building and testing computational models that mimic the role of genetic information in specifying functions by means of structure-forming sequences," unquote. But there are other examples of biomimetics that we're seeing in news articles today. A Science Daily news release from earlier in 2008 reporting on engineers who are turning to marine biology for insight into building better turbine blades and wings. The article reported that, quote, "the shape of whale flippers with one bumpy edge has inspired the creation of a completely novel design for wind turbine blades. This design has been shown to be more efficient and also quieter, but also defies traditional engineering theories," unquote. Apparently, small bumps on the leading edge of the flippers of whales create vortices as the whale moves through the water, and this uneven flow, quote, "helps to generate more lift without the occurrence of stall as well as enhancing maneuverability and agility," unquote. The authors of the article seem cognizant of the unwanted design overtones, and thus they lead off the article with an otherwise superfluous evolutionary spin. Quote, "sea creatures have evolved over millions of years to maximize efficiency of movement through water," unquote. Yet one scientist was quoted saying, quote, "the lesson from biomimicry is that the unsteady flow and complex shapes can increase lift, reduce drag, and delay stall, a dramatic and abrupt loss of lift beyond what existing engineered systems can accomplish," unquote. The alternative view is that existing engineered systems already contain this innovation before humans discover it, i.e., existing engineered systems in whales. Attempts to quash these design overtones of engineers mimicking nature were also made in another MSNBC article from earlier this summer, which explained that an African freshwater fish has, quote, incredible fish armor that could suit soldiers, unquote. One scientist was quoted saying, quote, such fundamental knowledge holds great potential for the development of improved biologically inspired structural materials, unquote. Apparently not wanting their readers to consider any intelligent design implications from such statements, the article opens with the non-subtle, but otherwise superfluous subtitle, quote, millions of years of evolution could provide exactly what we need today, unquote. Another scientist is then quoted making the superfluous attempt to reemphasize that point, stating, quote, millions of years or hundreds of millions of years of evolution would be a good starting point for what we need this day and age, unquote. Darwinists continue to tell us that millions and millions of years of blind and unguided processes created, quote, exactly what we need today. I guess, in the words of some theistic evolutionists, we should thank God for evolution. Or maybe, just maybe, we should consider the possibility that these systems that outperform human technology were intelligently designed. This is Casey Luskin with the ID the Future podcast. Thanks for listening.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute 2008. For more information, visit www.intelligentdesign.org or www.idthefuture.com.